really any organism. Like, why do birds build nests in hollow trees or at the tops of trees or in secluded places in Mars? And why do prairie dogs build their burrows under the ground with all these twisting, winding passages and little chambers everywhere? Fear of predators, right? What about us as humans in this society, in this day and age? Why do we have such elaborate schedules? We're planning every minute of every day. Fear of the unknown? Don't want anything to surprise us, come unexpected, wouldn't have control over anything. What are you afraid of? You stop to think about that. What are you actually afraid of? I'm afraid of the unknown. I'm afraid of pain. I have a healthy respect, not necessarily a fear, but a healthy respect for snakes and heights and water. Well, it doesn't take long for us to figure out that there's some scary things in this world. There's some things that are unnerving, that we're not comfortable with. I don't have to tell you about the terror in this world. My lesson is on hope in a world of terror. Almost all of you vividly remember the attack on 9/11, where 2,996 people were killed and over 6,000 people were injured. Since then, there have been 27 acts of terror resulting in death and injury in the U.S. alone. We all know about ISIS, about its growth, its influence, the things they do, the people they harm, their threats to us. What about the upcoming election? The leaders that are about to be elected. I mean, since when does blatant socialism stand a chance in the land of the free and the home of the brave? Does that strike a little terror in your heart? Does that make you worried about the future? How about the economy? Seems like every time we turn around, it's either up or down, around and around. Instability. What about our possessions? Are they going to last? Are they going to sustain us? Do we have something to be worried about? Is it going to collapse underneath us? What about the decline of morality? Blatant immorality everywhere in this country and in this world. And the possibility of Christian persecution approaching us on the horizon. Well, I'm not here to strike fear in your heart. I'm here because I want us to soberly acknowledge that there is terror in this world. I want us to remember who really deserves to be feared. I want us to examine the antidote to a life of terror. And I want us to just be reminded this morning where our hope resides. 1 John 5:19 says, "The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." That explains it, right? This world's in power of Satan. It lies under his sway, and we can certainly see those effects. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Resist him, standing fast. Who wouldn't be afraid of a lion? I mean, if you were just walking around outside and there was a lion, how would you fear? Feel? Would you be afraid? I would. You'd be an idiot not to. Right? Well, Satan uses terror as a tool to trap you. We've all been startled before, right? Somebody jumps out of from behind a door or something like that. What do? You freeze. Everybody acts differently. But when you're truly shocked with terror, you shut down. You stop functioning. Because your heart never skipped a beat? Well, yeah. Quit functioning. And Satan wants to do that to us spiritually. He wants to strike us with terror so that we stop working. And then we're vulnerable so that he can devour us like a lion. As we begin, I want to draw our attention to something very simple yet profound about who really deserves to be feared. Revelation chapter 19. Here's just an incredible description. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. Now I saw heaven open, this is John speaking of his vision, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hebrews 10:30-31. For we know him who said, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Who truly deserves to be feared? It is the Almighty God. Don't forget that. Philippians 2, verses 10 through 11. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, of those under the earth. Everybody, in case you didn't get the point. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Revelation 17, verse 14. He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. The good news is, this all-powerful Creator, Sustainer of life, the one who wreaks vengeance on those who oppose him, he loves us. He cares about us. We have a relationship with him. And because of that, in the end, we win. True story. Romans 16:20 says, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. That's a promise. And his promises don't fail. So, what do you have to be afraid of? There's a lion walking in the streets, but you're riding in a tank. Are you afraid? He who sits in a tank is not on the menu. There's nothing to be afraid of. As a little kid, I remember laying in bed at night, and when a car would drive by, you know how their lights would make a reflection of the window on the wall, and it would travel around the wall and come right over your head? Oh, it scared me so bad. I'd throw the covers over my head. Well, it was a little irrational, right? I mean, it was just lights of the car, and once I finally understood that and didn't think it was really a ghost coming across the wall to come to me, I wasn't afraid anymore. Not a big deal. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's the antidote to a life of terror. Remembering who is with us everywhere we go. But sure, there's some unnerving things going on. There's terrorism. There's persecution. And it's getting closer and closer to us, right? Sometimes we can lose our focus and it gets a little scary. But just remember Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 3. It says, do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Matthew chapter 10. Very touching passage. Matthew 10:28-31. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many spirits. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of the threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Amen. Exactly. That's our focus as Christians. That makes it a lot easier for us to confront the terror of this world. You know what we need when we're confronted with something scary? As little kids, when we were scared of the dark, or afraid of what might be in the closet or under the bed, we need comfort. We need someone there to comfort you, to remind you that it's okay. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 12. God says, I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die, and of the Son of Man who will be made like grass? Puts it right into perspective. There are going to be difficulties. There are going to be hardships. As kids, you're going to wreck your bike and skin your knee, and it's going to hurt. And doggone it, it's just going to be disappointing to mess up. But in the grand scheme of things, how big of a deal is that for us? For the things that are tough in this life. Chapter 54, verses 11 through 14. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempests and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems, and lay your foundation with sapphires, and I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. Okay, we've gone from foundation to pinnacle to walls to gates. In other words, you're going to be covered with beautiful, priceless rubies, gems, jewels. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. How are you feeling now, O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted? God comforts us like a good father comforting his children. Chapter 43. Starting in verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, and he who formed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Fear not, for I am with you. I love that passage. That's magnificent. John 16:33, Jesus says, these things I say to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. Face it. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's the point of my lesson today. Be of good cheer. He is overcome. We have hope. We have hope. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and starting in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hold fast that confession of your hope, because he who promises is faithful. He doesn't go back on his promises. Go through the Bible sometime and notice every time you see the word will. I will. And fill in the blank. There's so many passages where God makes that promise to us, and we know that it will come true. Feel comforted. Be of good cheer. He is faithful. And notice the focus here. It's on Christ's boldness. We have boldness in Christ by his blood. Through the veil, which is his flesh. He is our high priest. And the point is, any hope worth having is founded in our infallible God. Lamentations, verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Hebrews 4:16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's something wonderful about God, is he doesn't just throw us our salvation and say, I'll see you in heaven. He helps us day to day. Every day. Lamentations 3, it also says, let me just turn there. Lamentations 3. Yeah, here we go. Verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Make sure your hope is in God, because everything else is temporary and it's going to fail you at times. Okay? Sure, we encourage one another, and we're here for one another. But I'm going to fail you, and Eric's going to fail you, and John's going to fail you, but God will not. And it is through his mercy and his faithfulness that we can remain as a body, united, that we can be encouraging to one another. The point is, our hope is in him. David had his head on straight. I mean, for a guy that was chased for the better part of his life by the most powerful guy in the world, he knew where his hope resided. Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. What about our possessions? Do we ever rely on them a little too much? Sure, it's so easy to do. It's so easy to lose our focus and pay too much attention to the things we have and the things we want. Turn with me to Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31, verses 24 through 28 says, if I have made gold my hope, or said to find gold, you are my confidence. If I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gained much. If I have observed the sun when it shines, the moon moving in brightness, so that my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth has kissed my hand. This also would be an iniquity deserving of judgment, for I would have denied God who is above. It's an insult to God when we hope in other things. I thought of it that way. It was a good thing for me to do. Remember who holds you in the palm of his hand. Who notices every fall of the sparrow. Who numbers every hair on your head. Put your hope in him. He helps us every day. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Verses 23 through 27. Now when he got into a village, his disciples followed him, Jesus, of course. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. Here's my healthy caution, water. I would not like being in a little fisherman's boat with the waves literally coming on top of the boat and threatening to sink. No thanks. So Jesus is asleep. How do you remain asleep while you're being doused with water? I don't know. Talented guy. Verse 26. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? He helped. Lord, save us. We are perishing. What boat is going to sink holding the master of ocean and earth and sky? Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? I am here to help you. Amen. Matthew 14. Actually, I'm going to try something here. A little audience participation. Close your eyes. Can you do that for me? Close your eyes and envision this. I mean, so often we treat these as stories because we've heard them from youth. We've heard them as little kids, at least the majority of us have. And it's almost like the reality of them is gone. But this really happened. Listen. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now on the fourth watch of the night, the darkest part, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a ghost. And they cried out, fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Talk about faith. So he said, Come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. Peter was distracted. He had his focus on Christ. If it is you, command me to come to you. And he says, Come. He tells you, Come. But he looked around and he saw the waves. And he saw the wind and the contrary sea. And that's when he sung. But he said the three most important words. Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus caught him. Don't neglect to say, Lord, save me. He's there to catch you. Every day. But keep your focus on him in the first place. And you can walk on water. Psalm chapter 46. Verses 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Amen. Well put. Chapter 27, verses 1 and 5. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high on a rock. We have hope, even while we're on this earth. Hope of salvation. Hope of assistance whenever we call. Hope of strength in time of weakness. But we have even more than that. We have an even greater hope. And that is that there is more to life than this. This earth, this life, these clothes, this society, these standards. We have hope that this is the path to the destination. Because he who promises is faithful. Hebrews 13:14 says, here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Romans 8, verse 18 says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting in verse 17. For our light affliction, light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. But we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, waiting for you. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Just right after the faith chapter, where it lists tons of people who were incredibly faithful to God, despite their situations. And the writer tells us, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, like Peter on the water, who, for the joy that was set before him, which, by the way, was you, endured the cross, despising the pain, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself for you, lest you become weary in your souls. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Probably the best way to begin an epistle. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. There is our hope. No matter what goes on here, that is unchanged. That is there waiting for us. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So as you leave this meeting, and if you get worried or stressed out about a light affliction which is but for a moment, about the news, about the terror in this world and the lion who walks about like a roaring lion, remember the sword which comes from his mouth and his eyes which burn with fire. Remember that he is your Savior. He is almighty and he loves you. Remember that when you ride in the tank, you're not on the moon. Satan can't touch you unless you allow him to. Remember that as a good father, the Lord comforts his children. He helps us in time of need. His salvation is always for us. And remember that here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Brethren, we have hope in this world of eternity.